Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, we thank you that you've gathered us here this night as we embark on a Lent, a season of our church year. As we put the mirror before us, show us what's in us that you need to remove, cleanse, forgive, set us free from. Guys, this may be a holy Lent. Oh, that Father, when Easter dawns, what a glorious alleluia that may be. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Ash Wednesday. Ashes. I'm sure you've all said it. Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Do you know what in the world that meant? We've said this nursery rhyme, but what does it mean? The rhyme came about during the Black Plague, a time when death was all around and millions of people died. It was estimated that 30 to 60% of Europe's population died. That's around 75 million people died of the Black Plague. Ring around the roses, pocket full of posies, reminds people of the doctors who carried flowers in their pockets to breathe in the fresh or at least the better smelling air instead of smelling the rotting of flesh among them. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down, spoke to the fact that millions and millions have died, and we too will die someday. There's a lot of symbol in these black, bleak, dirty things. And the one is about our mortality, because as I will say when I do the imposition of ashes, if I can say it, yes, you're reminded, from dust you come, and from dust you shall return. But listen to the words from the preface in our bulletin this evening. You don't need to go there. I'm just going to read it to you. Today is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the penitential season of Lent. The Lenten season lasts 40 days, not including Sundays, and is a reminder of Moses' 40 days in the wilderness and Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness after his baptism. The use of ashes as a symbol of repentance goes back to the Old Testament and actually predates Israel's call as a special people. In those days, persons seeking repentance dressed in sackcloth covered their heads and shoulders with ashes and made confession before God. The use of ashes has been a common experience in Christianity since the 3rd century, when the church adopted the Lenten season as a preparation for the celebration of Easter. The use of ashes is a symbolic reminder that all of us, no matter who we are, come from the earth and one day shall return to dust and to ash. We are mortal, and death is the conclusion of mortal life in all of us. For centuries, Christians have used the Lenten season as a time for reflection and prayer. Some traditions have emphasized fasting as well. The lighting of candles on the Advent wreath marks a transition of mood and a new season before Christmas. The mark of ashes on Ash Wednesday, also a symbol of change and a symbol of reconciliation during the season, which concludes with the joyful alleluias of Easter, the lilies, and the empty cross. So what I'm hearing in those words is not only to remind us of our mortality, you are but dust, and to dust you shall return, but the dirtiness of the ash is to symbol our sin. After I'm preaching, as I said at the 12 noon service 2 or 3 hours from now, I will say these words, and they all laughed when I said that at 12:30. You can laugh. Okay, it's all right. Okay, 4 hours. I say these words. Dear people of God, the first Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church to prepare for them by a season of penitence and fasting. The season of Lent provided a time in which the converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when those who, because of notorious sins, had been separated from the body of the faithful were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to the fellowship of the church. Thereby, the whole congregation was put in the mind of the message of pardon and absolution set forth in the gospel of our Savior, and a need which all Christians have continually to renew their repentance in faith. So there's two parts that we're to be reminded of tonight as we look at the ash: our mortality and our sin. But Father, I'm not a sinner in that sense. I've never stolen something. I've never murdered somebody. I've not committed adultery. Oh. But did you hear the words of Jesus as recorded in Matthew? Words that he spoke on that mount to the disciples with the crowds hearing. You've heard what it was said to people long ago: do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother is subject to judgment. You've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. Wow. It's not only the action, but it's what we do with that temptation up here. And do we put construction on it? Do we entertain it? And have we decided what we will do with that, whatever the temptation is? Temptation is not sin. It bombards us daily, hourly, minute by minute. But the decision time is what we do with the temptation. And here in the Episcopal Church, when we do say our confession, we confess what we have done in thought, word, and deed, what we have done and left undone. What did God speak to me very clearly to do yesterday? And I decided there was something better to do at that moment, and I put it on the shelf. And I get to the end of the day, and I never got to what he asked. Things left undone. Oh, I am a sinner. Lent is that time in which we're to put the mirror to ourselves and say, what is the sin within me? Lord, what is it that you need to cleanse from me? Because that's his desire. It's not just to make us aware of our sin or guilty for our sin or judge us for our sin, but it's to cleanse us from our sin. As most of you know, my wife and I just got back from a cruise and we had a wonderful time. But there were two things that were a little bit freaky. We got into our room before we had left the port of Houston, and we're sitting there watching the video of all of the process and procedure and all the entertainment. And part of what they were talking about is, and I'm on insulin, I take a shot once a day, is that if you are using a syringe, please call the front desk and they'll bring a little Sharpie container to dispose of your syringes. Okay, they don't want them in the regular garbage. I get that. That's often an issue. And I said to my wife, let's not forget to call the front office so I have something to dispose them in. Within 5 minutes, we go to the cabin door. Mr. Wright, here's your little Sharpie container for your syringes. Honey, did you call the front desk? No, did you? Oh, I'm sure they must give these to everybody. We waved to the camera in our room. Good to meet you this morning. Okay, so then we go to the dining hall. We have these wonderful meals, and on the menu is always a sugar-free dessert. As the diabetic, I love the idea. Give it a try. They were very tasty, and they had a different one every night. Second or third night, we're in the buffet area. You don't swipe your card. There's no way in which you're identifying yourself. I'm just a passenger, 3,000 passengers on the ship. Let's contextualize it a moment. And the head of the food service is there milling around, making sure everything's okay, comes up to us and said, are you having a great time? Oh, we're having a wonderful time. And I said, I want to thank you that you have a sugar-free dessert on the menu every night. He said, oh, we pride ourselves in trying to serve all of our customers. He gets out his card and said, if you have any other issues, is there something you need, give me a call. Here's my direct number. Very sweet. Thank you very much. Laurel gets her nightly ice cream out of the ice cream dispenser. We go back to our room, and on the table in our room is a little plate with a little note. Mr. and Mrs. Wright, we thank you for the positive feedback. Here's a dessert for you to share. The next night, I saw the same gentleman. I said, thank you very much for that dessert, but how did you know who I was? I have my ways. That's scary. Hello, how are ya? What I was reminded of in my wondering, and I'm still wondering how in the world they figured all that out, and I don't want to go there because we'll leave that alone, okay, is the prayer that I say before communion at the beginning of the communion service every Sunday. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. I'm on a cruise, and they knew more about me than I wanted them to know before I wanted them to know it. But I serve a God, and you serve a God that knows everything about us. There's nothing we can hide from him. It's a scary thought to think about the cruise thing. It's not a scary thought to think about God knowing. Because his intention in knowing all of us and all about us, and from nothing we can hide, is that he could do the best for us and that he could cleanse us and forgive us. That's his desire. It's a good thing that God knows me and that I need to walk in the reality of, why do I try to hide it from him? Bring it to him. I hope that you've picked up one of the Lent in a bags. And if you haven't, make sure you pick one up tonight. And there are enough out there that I think you could take one for a friend or a neighbor. But in the bag, there is a devotion for each week. And one of the devotion, the fifth item, is cord from a whip. And it says this on the little devotional guide in our little bag. But he was wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a punishment that has made us whole. And by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 55:3. At the heart of the gospel message is the belief that God, through Jesus, took our sins upon himself. Quoting from Isaiah, 2 Peter 2:24 records, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. What sins have you committed for which Jesus Christ had to die? Do you have some favorite sins that continue to plague your conscience? Have you confessed your sins to God who is always ready to forgive? If you continue to struggle, parenthetically it says, with sin or forgiveness, talk to your priest. Find a confidant. God's purchase of your righteousness is called atonement, which means at-one-ment. In Lent, we turn to Christ with sorrowful hearts, but also in thanksgiving for his gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. It's good news that the God we serve knows all about us and from whom nothing can be hid. 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then as recorded in John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. There's nothing more freeing than being cleansed from sin, being forgiven of our iniquity, being freed from the prison of hiding and struggling to keep down deep that which he already knows. Lent. The ashes are to remind us that we are but mortal, not immortal. Lent. The ashes are to remind us of the dirt interior inside us that God wants to remove. That we at Easter can come with everything that we have and embrace him. In the traditional wording of the communion service, I would say we offer ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable and holy and living sacrifice. The only way we're going to be able to fully offer ourselves is for us to be fully cleansed by Him and to hide nothing from Him. It's scary to think that they knew that I was using a syringe and that I ate sugar-free desserts. But we'll leave that alone. It's a comforting thing to know that He knows all about me. And why should I even begin to hide anything from Him? I invite you, therefore, in the name of God, to the observance of a holy Lent. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your love that's just absolutely astounding, awesome, extraordinary. I could go on forever, Lord, because it's more than we deserve. And You know me through and through, and there's nothing I can hide from You. But gosh, we try to. But may we have that freedom to know and understand that why hide it from You? You already know it. And we don't need to be afraid of You, but rather we bring it to Your feet and You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Free us from our sin. Cleanse us and make us new. Amen.